Okay, let's begin. Today's daf is daf Tes Zayin. So let's take it on the last line of Tes Vav Amud Bey, the last two words. The Gemara had been discussing the Takanas Chachamim that Kli Zechuchis had been equated to a Kli Charis. Even though Kli Zechuchis isn't mentioned in the Torah at all, but the din of a glass was compared to a Kli Charis, to an earthenware vessel. So the Gemara says, again, the last two words of Tes Vav Amud Bey is El Miata, that's the case. That Kli Zechuchis is equated to a Kli Charis. So the Gemara says, going on to Daf Tezai now, Lo L'tamu Megabon. The glass should not become tummy on the outside. The din is that when it comes to Kli Charis, as we're about to see in the Mishnah quoted, that the only way Kli Charis is metame is either through the avir, through the airspace, or through the bottom of the Kli Charis. But the outside walls, that a Kli Charis is a metame. So if they're really true, if it's really true that Kli Zechuchis is just like a Kli Charis, so a Kli Zechuchis shouldn't be metame migavan, should not be tame from the outside either. Alamatnan, why does the Mishnah tell us in Maseches Kelim? Kli Charis with Kli Neser, when it comes to Kli Charis, which is earthenware, Kli Neser is also some type of earthenware, maybe a white type of dirt. The din is, Tumasan Shava, the type of tuma, the way it becomes tame, the way it's metame other things, both by Kli Charis and Kli Neser are equal. Mitamin u'mitamin ba'me'avirem. Mitamin, they become tame through its avir, through its airspace. And mitamin, they mitame others that are in its airspace when tame. And mitamin ma'achareim, they also become tame from the achareim, is the bottom of the kli. It's either inside the kli or the bottom of the kli. The ein mitamin migabem, but they don't become tame from something touching the outside, not the bottom, but the outside of the kli charis, of the kli neser. And if a person breaks the Kli Charis, that's the only way to be mitaher it. Kli Charis doesn't have any other form of tar process, simply by breaking it and shattering it. And then the Gemara, the Mishnah says, the Gemara is Bedaik, Kli Neser, the Kli Charis, who? The Tumas and Shava. Only these two types of materials. The Kli Neser, some type of earthenware, and Kli Charis, another type of earthenware, only these have the same din. That it's only Tuma Me'avirein and Me'acharein, but there is no Tuma Me'gabem. Aval, but the implication is, Midi Acharini, lo, any other type of material is not equal in terms of Tuma. Meaning Kli Zechuchis is not the same type of Tuma. Kli Zechuchis can become Tame Me'gabem. So it's not equated to a Kli Charis. So the Gemara says, Amri, they said, Kevin Dichi Nishtabru, Yeshlam Takana, Shavinu Kichli Matachos. Since glass is different than earthenware, glass is unique in that you're able to fix it by breaking it, by melting it, and refashioning it. It's like a metal utensil. So somehow Kli Zechuchis is a hybrid of an earthenware vessel and a metal vessel, a Kli Charis and a Kli Matechos. And since it has the ability to melt it and refashion it, it does have Tuma Megaven like that of metal. So that's what the Gemara says. So El Miata, that's really the case. That's like metal. So then it should be like metal across the board. So Yichazu L'Tumasan Yishana Kichlei Matachos. It should be similar to metal that when you refashion it, the tumah comes back alive. We're about to see in a Mishnah in just a second. Then when it comes to Kli Matachos, when it comes to metal, so let's say there's tumah, the metal. So a person breaks the metal, so it loses its tumah. But if a person refashions the metal, it actually regains the Tumah Yishana. The Tumah Yishana comes back to life again, and you have to put it into the mikvah. So too, by a Kli Zechuchis, if we're equating it to metal, so granted, if you break the glass, it loses its Tumah, but if you refashion it, it should get its Tumah Yishana. It should get its old Tumah back, just like that of metal, if really Kli Zechuchis is like metal. So the Gemara quotes, that again, Yichazu L'Tumason Yishana Kichli Matachos. Glass should then have its tumah come back to life, just like that of a metal vessel. The Tanan, the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Kelim, Kli Matachos Pshutein U'Mikableim. Whether there's a metal sheet that's Pshutein, that's flat, or Mikableim, or it has a base kibble, has a little a cup to hold something, or a pot, or a pin, the din is Tumem, they can become a top, the Mikabel Tumah. Nishburu, if one breaks the metal vessel, Taharo, they're Tahar. But chazir v'asam hem kelim, if you refashion the metal into another utensil, chazir l'tumasam yishana, it gets its old tumah back, and you have to put it into the mikvah. However, that's only the gabay metal. V'ilu gabay klei zechuchis, when it comes to glass, Tanan the Mishnah tells us a maseches kelim as well. Kli eitz, v'kli or, v'kli etzem, u'klei zechuchis, when it comes to a wooden vessel, a leather vessel, a bone from bone material, or glass, the din is ipshutayan if they're flat, which means there's no base kibul, it's just a flat sheet of glass or a flat sheet of wood, tahorin. They're not able to mekabel tuba. Mikablen, if there's a base kibul, if there's a cup of some sort to hold something, then these materials are tamei. Nishbaru, if you break any of these listed vessels, kli eitz, kli or, kli etzem, kli zechukas, the din is the taru. Chazer v'asim hem kelim, if you refashion it after breaking it, mikablen tuma mikanu l'haba. They're susceptible to tuma moving forward. For the Gemara's medayik, only mikanu l'haba, and only from moving forward are they susceptible to tuma. But l'mafrei lo, but it doesn't get old tuma yeshana back to life. So the question is, if it's true that kli zechukas is really equated to kli matachos, so then just like kli matachos, if you refashion it, it gets a tuma yeshana. Shouldn't the glass also get the tuma yeshana? And the Gemara says no. Tumas kli zechukas midirban. The whole concept of glass becoming tamei, that whole concept is a din derban in the first place, and the din of tuma yeshana is also midirban. The fact that metal gets its tuma yeshana back, that's also din derban. So what happened was, when the Chum instituted a tuma derbanan to kli zechukas in general, they said tuma deraisa achisaba rabanan tuma, but tuma derbanan lo achisalei rabanan tuma. When kli zechukas got the takana of kli zechukas was that as a din derbanan of tuma, they only applied tuma deraisas of metal to kli zechukas, but they didn't apply tuma derbanans of metal to kli zechukas. And therefore, since the concept of tuma yeshana is a derbanan when it comes to metal, it was not applied to kli zechukas. And that's why, although kli zechukas was equated to metal, only the gabi dini deraisa, tuma deraisa, was it equated. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. So now we've established that kli zechukas was limited in its comparison to kli matachos, that only in regards to dini deraisa do we equate the two of them. So now the Gemara says, but we have another din deraisa that applies to metal that doesn't apply to glass, which is as follows. Gemara says, pshutehem mi'alatame, that when it comes to a flat glass vessel, there should be tuma, just like the hapshute klimatachos deraisin inu. When it comes to a flat metal pan, the din is, it's makabo tuma mederaisa. So to a flat glass, whatever the item is, it should also be makabo tuma. The Gemara says, you're right. Really, it should. We really do apply all tuma deraisas to glass, but they wanted to make a chilek. They wanted to have people understand that glass is still different than metal. Why? Abdibe Rabbanan Hikera, Rabbanan made a distinction, a recognition, a difference. This is where people won't burn Chuma V'Kachum. What that means is that even though Chacham instituted that glass is Tamei Midirabbanan, it's only Midirabbanan. And therefore, let's say a Tamei glass vessel were to touch Chuma V'Kachum, we wouldn't say burn it because it's not really Tamei Deraisa level. You're not allowed to burn chuma and kachum that are tahor. So since the glass is only mitame midirabana, and they said, okay, don't eat the chuma v'kachum, but you can't burn it either until it gets a tuma midiraisa. But they felt that you had to make a distinction because people would start saying, oh, if metal tame touches chuma v'kachum, I burn it. So too, if glass tame touches chuma and kachum, I should burn it. They want people to realize the difference. So they had to make a chilik in the halacha to make people realize that glass is only midirabana. Had they make that chilik by saying pshuteyem, that when it comes to flat metal, that's tamei midiraisa, but flat glass isn't tamei at all. Once that distinction exists, people will recognize then, oh, the glass is only midirabanan, and if it touches chuma v'kachim, granted I can't eat it, but I'm not allowed to burn it either because it's only a tuma midirabanan. Let's go now to Amud Beis. This is a very short daf. It's a quicker daf, the whole daf overall. So Gemara now says the very top line of Tez Zayin Amud Beis. Rav Ashi Amar Liolam Likli Cheres Damo. Really? Up until now, we said, we just changed direction to we had said that Kli Zechuchas is like Kli Matachos, that glass is equated to metal. Rav Ashi goes back to what we had originally taught on Daf Tes Vav, that really glass is like Kli Cheres, like an earthenware vessel. Ude Kakashi Lecha, the question we started off the Daf with, Lola Tami Megabon. So if we wanted to say that glass is really equated to earthenware, then just like earthenware vessels, there is no tuma migaven. On the outside, there's no tuma. Only on the inside or the bottom is a tuma, but not on the outside. So why don't we say the same thing by glass, that migaven there isn't going to become tuma? So the Gemara says, "De kakashi lach lo letami migavan ho venira tocho kibaro." Since glass is transparent, so the outside looks like the inside. So there really is no migabeyan by glass. Physically there is, there's an outside, but since you see right through, we view everything as being aviro. Everything is being viewed as inside, since everything is transparent. It's a chiddush, but this is what the Gemara says, this is what Rashi says, and this is actually how we paskin based on the Rambam in Hilchos Kalim. But the din is that no matter where an item touches glass, inside or outside, it's all going to become tamei, because the din of hol v'nira tocho kivaro. And that's how we conclude. So it happens to be a fascinating discussion. This is the Dvar Halacha I gave today on Daf and Practice, on all Daf, which is as follows. Is a person allowed to use glass for milchiks and fleishiks? Use the same glasses when he has a fleishiks dinner, when he has a milchiks dinner, use the same glasses. Is that allowed? So part of the conversation is, when it comes to kashering glass for Pesach or for the rest of the year, is that allowed? So there are three positions in the Rishonim. Some hold that glass does not absorb anything. It doesn't become treif, completely sealed off, and therefore no need to kasher. Others feel that it's like a klei cheres, like it absorbs, glass is able to absorb, but you can't kasher. You can't kasher klei cheres, and you can't kasher glass either. And yet others say there's a middle position, glass does absorb things, but you could also kasher as well. These are three positions. So how do we paskin? So legabe hilchos Pesach, the Mechaber paskins, lekula, that glass is not able to absorb anything, and you don't even need to kasher it for Pesach, kavachomer for the rest of the year. The Rama writes there in Hilchas Pesach that Yesh Machmir, that those are Machmir, that glass absorbs and glass cannot be kashered either. And that's, the Gra says, based on the sugya here, that Rav Ash concludes that glass is like Klei Cheres, and just like Klei Cheres absorbs and can't be kashered, so too glass, so just like Klei Cheres can, so too glass can't be kashered either. Now, Lagabi Hilchas Pesach, the Mishabur points out, if a person's stuck and has no other choice, there's all the kelim he has, he could be makel and kasher the glass even on Pesach. And the rest of the year, we're generally makel and Ashkenazim as well, you could kasher glass. So we see glass, real mikadin, can be kashered. So now, using glasses for milchiks and meat, since typically people use glasses to drink from, it's all cold, and the only way things absorb in general is with heat, but when you use a cold, it doesn't absorb anything, there's good reason to allow throughout the rest of the year to use the same glasses both for milk and for meat. Either like the Shulchan Aruch, because it doesn't absorb anything, or even if it does absorb something, since we're using everything with cold, or for the most part cold, it's not going to absorb things anyways. That being said, it's very best practice, Rav Sternbach and others suggest, that one should have separate glasses for both milchiks and fleishiks. Back inside the Gemara now. The Gemara says three lines down. Shimon ben Shetach, tiken ksuba l'isha. So we had said the other day on Daf Yudalib that he was masakin ksuba for Nisha, v'gozer tuma al klei matachos. And he also goes there that metal should become tame as well, midin derabanim. So the Gemara asks the obvious question we had a couple days ago, klei matachos midirayis haninu, that the din derayis, that metal becomes tame. D'chsev ach es azov v'zakesef, it goes on to say, lists six different types of metals, that they're tame. So we don't need a gzeir from Shum ben Shetach, it's a pasuk in the Torah. The Gemara says, lo nitzucha ela l'tuma yishana. The institution of Shimon ben Shetach was that if a person were to refashion metal, it will revert to its tuma yishana. That's the din derbanan. Granted, midaraisa, kli matachos are mekabel tuma. But when it comes to bringing back the tuma yishana, that was the gzeira. The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, ma'isa b'shel tzion hamalka. There's once a ma'isa with a queen who lived at the times of Shimon ben Shetach, and she, she made a big meal, big feast for her son, and somehow all the kelim became mekabel, were tamei tumas meis. Now the din with tumas meis is, in order to be metaher tumas meis, you need 7 days. You need to sprinkle on day three, you need to sprinkle on day seven of the parduma. That's going to be a long process, a long wait. So what she do? She ordered, she has a big, huge staff. She varta, and she ordered that everyone break all the kelim. And Nisantan Latsarv, they gave them to the blacksmith. And Ritchan, and boiled them, and refashioned them brand new. Vasimhem kelim chadash, she made brand new kelim. So instead of having to wait the 7 days, she just melded all the metal, and was able to refashion everything. So that sounds like a great etzah. And the Gemara says, Amru Chachamim yachzru l'tumasan yishana. So Chachamim said, because of that concern that people, because of this, they said, let's go back and create a new tumah of tum yishana. If you do this, you take this mahalach of refashioning metal, it's going to regain its old tumah. My time, what's the reason? It sounds like a very good idea. We have the din that if you melt and break the kalim, so you refashion them, why doesn't that work as a good process to mitaharet? So the Gemara says, Mishim geder mechatas naguba. they were concerned if everyone takes this approach, and whenever something became tame, tumas meis, they'd simply just burn it, melt it, and refashion it. People are going to forget the whole concept of mechatas, of paraduma, and they didn't want that to happen, chas v'shalom. Therefore, they were gozer. If one tries this approach of refashioning metal, refashioning kalim, it's going to get the old tumah back in place, and you have to bring it to the mikveh anyway, so there's no gain. So then the Gemara says, hanich l'man damar, this all makes sense, the one who holds the meseches kalim, lo kol tumas amru, elo tumas hameis belvad amru, that when they said the tumah yishana, that the old tumah comes back, that only applies to tumas meis, shaper, this makes sense. That when did they institute tumah yishana? Only when the initial tumah was tumas meis, a person tries refashioning it, the tumah yishana comes back to life. Okay? So the motivation was, we don't want to forget mechatas. But there is another opinion, elalman da'amar, in the Mishnah Meseches Kelim in Perek Yud Alf, holds l'chol tumas amru, ma'ik l'meimar. When we say that din of tumah yishana, it doesn't only apply to the tumah of meis, any tumah. Tumas sheret, tumas nevela, any tumah, if a person tries refashioning the keli, it's going to revert to its old tumah. So what's the motivation? It can't be about being concerned of paraduma, because paraduma mechatas only applies to tumah, tumas meis. But what's the motivation why they made the same tumah yishana by other tumas like nevela and sheret? So the Gemara says there are two reasons why they had to institute tumah yishana by other tumas as well. Number one is Amar Abaye says, Gzeir Hashem lo yikvenu b'chdei taras. When it comes to a vessel that's tameh, and you want to break it down so it's tahor, you have to break it down where there's a large enough hole, a large enough break in the vessel, the size of a rimon, to make it tahor. They were concerned that people may not break it down enough. They'll like make a little chip here, a little chip there, and then remelt it, and maybe they never broke it well enough in the first place. Maybe they never made a large enough hole in the first place. Because of that chashash of people not breaking it in the first place the correct way, they said, if you try to break it, it's not going to work. If you refashion it, it's going to go back to the tumah yishana. That was the one reason. And Rav Amar, Gzeir Hashem Yomru, Tfila Bas Yoma Olalo. People are going to think that if you put something in the mikvah, it will be good enough that day without having to wait forever shemesh. The din is, when it comes to kelim that become tameh, you need two things. You need to put in the mikvah, tevila, and you need hair of shemesh, you also need the sunset. And what would happen is, let's say a person saw that my keli became tameh. So I did another route. I didn't put it in the mikvah, and I didn't wait for the sunset. I melted it in my oven, and I made a new keli that very day. A person's going to see me using that same keli I used earlier, now I'm using it a couple hours later, let's say, and they're going to say, oh, wait a second, I probably put it in the mikvah. I didn't wait for hair of shemesh, I didn't wait for sunset. Ah, must be you don't need to wait for sunset. But that's wrong. He didn't know that I melted it in the oven. I made a whole new keli in the first place. So one of these two reasons, either because a person might not break it down in the first place well enough, or people are going to start thinking you don't need hair of shemesh. You could use it bas yomo that day if you put it in the mikveh as well. Therefore, they said, by all tumas, if you take this approach of trying to refashion something, it doesn't work. The tumah yishana comes back to life. My benai, what's an afkamina, whether or not the din is because of maybe they didn't break it down properly in the first case, or because people might start saying that if you do tevila on that very day, it works as well without a shkia sachama. So what's the nafkamina? Dir tafinu mirtaf. Where the person broke the kli entirely. He didn't just make a hole and then just repatch the hole. He broke it down entirely. In that case, so everyone's going to read, everyone's going to understand that there's no chashash of not making the hole big enough. You mamish broke it down. So according to that approach, you mamish melted it completely. That's completely fine according to Rav Abaye. But according to Rava, that person might see me reusing that very same day. He'll still think maybe you're allowed to use it bas yomo the same day I put it in the mikvah. I don't need hair of shemesh. And for that reason, that would be the nafkamina. But either way, we goes across the board at all types of tumas, that the din would be if you refashion it, the tumah yishana comes back to life. That's true when it comes to metal. But we saw earlier when it comes to glass was not subject to that din of tumah yishana, because he wanted there to be a distinction between kli zechuchus, which is only midirabanan, to kli matachos, which is a din deraisa. Okay, the Gemara now says halfway down, tes zayin amid beis. Vidach mahi. So we listed in the Mishnah a couple days ago that there were 18 different gezeres that they made in the Aliyas Hananya, and the Beis Shammai had outvoted Beis Hillel. So we want to start mentioning, what are the other gezeres? We haven't gone through 18 yet. So what are the 18? So the Gemara says, idach mahi, what's the other gezeros? The Tzran, the Mishnah tells us, a maseches mikvaos. Haminiach kelim tachas atzinor. A person places some utensils below the tzinor, below the pipe, the drain, and lekabab hen meg shamim, in order to catch the rainwater dripping off the gutters. Echad kelim gedolim, whether or not they're very large kelim, ve'echad kelim katan, whether they're very, very small kelim, afilu kli avanim, even if they're made of rock, kli adam, or made of dirt, u'kli galalim, or made of excrement. So the din would be that, or some other material of some sort, different opinions apparently, but I think Pash is referring to excrement. And then the din would be posin es hamikvah. This water that you catch would be considered mayim shuvim, because we said rainwater is only good when it where it is, where it drops, when it comes down. But once you put into a keli, so then that keli disqualifies that rainwater as being mayim shuvim and can't be used. So whether or not it's a big keli, a small keli, whatever material you use, that disqualifies the megishamim. So now the Gemara says, echad meniach, echad ashecheach, divrei beishamim. Whether a person put it intentionally to catch the rainwater, or even accidentally, or he just forgot it there and it happened to have caught the water, that's going to disqualify the water, divrei beishamim. He says, no, only if a person willingly placed the meniach, the keli, to catch the rainwater. The guy was shochech, the guy accidentally forgot the pail out there, and then it happened to have caught the rain, Beis Hillel says that water would not be considered mayim shuvim, wouldn't be possible. So Amar Rebbe Meir, Meir says, Nimnu, they had a vote, the Rabu Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, and Beis Shammai won the vote. And they said that there would be that even if the guy was shochech the keli below the tzinor, it would pass through the water. So Modin Beisham agrees, B'shecheach b'chatzer shu tar. If a person forgot the one area where Beisham does agree to Beis Hillel, we said only if you forgot the pail below the tzinor, that's where Beisham says it's mayim shuvim and it's possible, and that's where we paskin. But if you forgot it somewhere in the chatzer, not near the tzinor, happens to be rainwater came in because it started to rain, there even Beisham would agree shehu tar, that water would become tar. So Amar Rabbi Yosef, Yosef says, Adayin ha-machlokes b'mkoma omedes, he, Rabbi Yosef, is not true. Even if a person forgot the keli in the open of the chatzer, even in that chair, the original machlokes about a person who was shocheach the pail below the tzinor, that still is machlokes. They never took a vote on that one, and that still machlokes still stands between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, whether shocheach tachas tzinor, whether that water is mayim psulim or not. So Amar Rabbi Misharsha, the Bei Rav, Amri, they said, Hakol Modim, everyone really agrees, Beis Hillel Beis Shammai agree, Kishe Nicham Bishas Kishre Avanim, when you place the pail below the gutter, when the clouds are coming together, starting to get dark and thick clouds, it looks like it's going to rain, so that even though the rain may came, sometime later, it was delayed, everyone agrees that water's Tamim. That was clear that you put it there to catch the rainwater, everyone agrees that's Psulim. Bishas Pidra Avanim, let's say the clouds are beginning to disperse. So then, and you put it the pail there, then the Diriyah Kol Torah, and that everyone agrees is not Mayim Shuvim, because since it looked like it wasn't going to rain, so placing the pail there, it sounded like he had no intention of catching the rainwater. Lo Nechleku, the only time they have a Machlokes is the following case. El She'nicham B'Shas Kishravan. The clouds are beginning to come together. They're starting to get thick and dark, so you place the clouds there, the pail rather, below the tzinor. Then what happened was, v'nispazu, then the clouds dispersed. It sounded like the storm was over, the storm never happened. But then chazu v'niskashu, but then they came back together, the clouds got thicker and darker. So in this case, mar savar bat l'machshavas, Beis Hillel felt, since the initial clouds dispersed, so it sounds like that initial machshava was batal. And even though it's raining now, and the pail is still there, that's considered shocheach, and the mayim caught, megishamim caught in the pail is considered mayim shuvim. But the other opinion, Mar Savar Beis Shammai holds at lo bat l'machshavaso. Even though the clouds dispersed, since they came back together, that's still considered a continuation of the initial machshava, and Beis Shammai felt that the megishamim in that case would still be considered mayim shuvim. Ulu Rabbi Yossi, according to Rabbi Yossi, Tamar Machlokes Adayin Bimkom Momedes, that he felt the machlokes still stands with Beis Hillel Beis Shammai about Shecheach, Bati Lehu. So now, according to him, there's one missing, because we said, according to this, there are 18 Gzeiros. So one of the Gzeiros are about this din of Shecheach, he forgot the pail below the Tzinor. But Rabbi Yossi thinks that's not a Gzeiros. They never counted. That was not part of the vote. So now he's missing one of the Gzeiros. So which Gzeiros is going to replace it if he doesn't count the Shecheach Tachas Tzinor? So the Gemara says, Amr of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Af benos kusim nidos marisasan bo bayom gazu. There's another din based in Mishnah Maseches Nida. Those who remember from the other Maseches Nida, that benos kusi, the din is that already from the day they're born, a kusi, we assume that the infant baby, the girl babies, are already considered nida marisasan, even from when they're in cribs, the day old, they have a din of nida, for whatever the reason is, they are gozer, Tumas Kusim, Tumas Nida, even for Benos Kusim, this was one of the 18 Gzeiros that was instituted in that attic that very night. Okay, we'll stop here. Now, a quick daf. Mimit Hashem, we will continue tomorrow. Let's maybe around 7:10 tomorrow. I'll send out a text maybe later this afternoon. Everyone have a wonderful day. Kol Tov.